This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is November 12th, 2014. Got Calhoun in the building. What's up, Calhoun?
Turn on, Mr. Digital Darren. It's about to be a momentous occasion.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So, the NFL version. We'll start off with the old timers for now. And
the old timers. Let's go with the professionals. Let's go with that.
So, we talk about this offline a lot. And I just throw it out here on the podcast. Would you rather have a young girl who body bounced back into everything where it's supposed to be? Or would you rather have an old motherfucker who's been ran through and don't have the miles on it?
Well, let's be honest, y'all getting ran through at 16 these days. So the age ain't a factor. But let's say it like this. You rather have a seasoned vet or a rookie? I want somebody who just learned how to up dick, who don't know how to take it good, who can't jack some dick, who don't know my faces when I'm ready to bust. I want somebody who's a pro at it, Walters. And that's what you want. That's what you get with the pros. You get a seasoned vet. Still good to go. You know what I'm saying? That's not late than 10 years ago. That's what I like.
Who's the young hot girl out right now? You guys know this better than me.
I don't know. It's probably some white bitch or something. Probably one of these Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus. They were kind of just Miley Cyrus of this shit. A bitch with no ass who thinks she can twerk and just want to act an ass and be wild. I'm like, man, sit your ass down. Go ahead and give me a classic to not late. You know what I'm saying? About love and basketball age. I love that one. Now, you can't deny that.
Yeah, but love and basketball, she was college age. She probably was like 23, right?
Nah, in real life, she was almost 30. She was 28 when she made that.
You sure?
Yeah, that came out in 2000. So now later, it's in her 40s.
Okay. Exactly. So 2014 years later, she would be 20-something, like 26 or 25.
Yeah, she about 28. Think about it. She might be like 42, 43 now. So 14 years ago, she was about 27, 28.
Yeah. I am a fan of Sanaa Lathan. I can't say that.
That's what I'm saying. Give me one of them. Give me that old Gabrielle Union when she hit 30. Come on, man.
Now, which would you rather have, Gabrielle Union at 30 or Gabrielle Union at 21? Physically.
She looked the same. She just started looking a little older about a year or two ago. She looked the same.
All right. Well, we're going to continue this discussion on another podcast. I think it's going to be you and Mr. MOB versus me and Lynn itself about college versus the pros, which is the best, the old timers or the young, ripe, ready ones.
And then let's get the listeners involved, too, so they can email which one they think is the best.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But let's go on and start off with the pros. So last week, I did this handwritten letter or hand-typed letter to Arthur Blank, and you heard it and you gave me some thoughts on it or whatever.
Pure brilliance. And if you didn't listen to that, you gotta go back and listen to it.
Yeah, the letter came from the heart, and I think that most of the crew of Digital Darren and Atlanta feel the same way, and we got a surprisingly great response for people who wanted their name signed on the email. People who were like, hey, on the letter, excuse me. People were like, hey, I wanna be on the letter. Hey, what do I need to do to be on the letter? Hey, you hit the nail on the head. A good amount of listeners listen to it. So, definitely had a good response for that.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. So, let's go and cover last week. What were your thoughts on last week's NFL?
My thoughts on last week's NFL is the same as almost every week in NFL. The NFL is real dicey this year. It's hard to pick. It's hard to see who's doing what. One week, a team looks very, very hella good. And the next week, they look like pure shit. Case in point, Pittsburgh Steelers. Last 2 weeks, this Big Ben came out throwing 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks. They couldn't even get on the board against the Jets Sunday. So, I mean, the NFL is real, real funny right now.
Speaking of the Jets, Mike Vick gave a great performance. What are your thoughts on him and that?
I think every dog has a day. He can still get it in now. Mike Vick can still give you a little greatness. You're not going to win nothing with him. But every now and again, he can get a little something. I tell you what this is going to say. another quarterback out of the league.
Oh, it's over for Geno.
Put Geno on your Vince Young and your Lane Sipper. Put him on that list. He's out of here.
Well, I think he is deservedly should be out of here. I think that Geno has not been good at all.
Geno been sucking donkey ass. He sucks. I tell you who was a surprise, though. We doing the Lewinsky and You Suck Award.
Definitely getting to the Lewinsky and You Suck Award. Matter of fact, since you said it, we're going to start right now.
Let's do it. Let me give.
Let's go. Which one you want to go with first?
Let's go with the You Suck Award.
All right, You Suck Award. I'll let you start off.
I'm going to give it to two entities. I'm going to give it to the Bengals team who lose at home to Cleveland 24-3, got blown completely out. Andy Dalton, -3 in the fantasy league. A.J. Green, doing what he does every week in the fantasy league, giving me losses. He sucked. And I got to also give it to the greatest sucker of all time, Jay Cutler, for that abysmal performance that he did against the Packers. Man, Aaron Rodgers looked like a porn star. He just took it right down the pipe. So those are my two You Suck Awards.
I want a little of that Jay Cutler action on the You Suck. I think Chicago's in, Lord knows, one of the worst places in the world. They've given given Cutler a $100 million contract, right? Can you, seriously, you can't win the championship with him, can you? I think we pretty much can agree with that, right?
No, you can't.
So what do you do if you're the Bears? If you're a Bears fan, what do you do?
Oh, you on the same train as the Falcons and the Buccaneers and everybody else. You ain't going nowhere. The Steelers looking like they on that, taking that plane too. They really are hopeless because you can't even get rid of that anchor. Jay Cutler's with you. So you got to ride that on out. Now let's take like Tampa Bay out of there. You on that contender not going nowhere train. So you on that Houston, Atlanta.
That contender pretender thing. Like we call that contender pretender, right? So you're a contender, but you're really a pretender, right? So
that's the train that you're on if you're a Chicago fan. So buckle up. We all in it together.
I think the Bears are a little more than the Falcons. I think the Bears really get you frustrated. Like, you're just a generic NFL fan. Don't have a favorite team, or your favorite team is in one of these teams. I think you can name more people off Chicago's team than you can off an Atlanta team. I still think...
Huh? They're way more talented.
Exactly. And so when you're playing a team that's way more talented, I think it gets you so frustrated because everybody knows that Jay Cutler is sinking this ship, but everybody knows you can't get rid of him. And the thing right now to do is to get rid of him. Bench him, trade him, do something. But you have to move forward by moving backwards. And getting rid of him is the step to move backwards. And I want to go back to our steakhouse comparison. Because you guys will fight for him to be in the Houston's group. Or at least the Longhorn group.
I don't recall that at all. I don't think no one was fighting for Jay Cutler to be in the Houston's group. Nobody's fooled by that guy, Jay Cutler. No.
You guys were fighting for him to be in the Longhorn group, and I say he should be a step down.
I think I was fighting for the Longhorn group. Well, I definitely wasn't building on Houston group, no. The thing about Jay Cutler and the thing about Chicago is this is why it's such a nice little butt fuck. You can't get rid of him. How can you get rid of him? Nobody's going to take on a $100 million quarterback like Jay Cutler. You're not doing that.
Yeah, especially when you know, especially when the jury's out that you can't win shit with him, right?
Exactly. So nobody's doing that. The Raiders not doing that.
No. I think the Raiders would do that at the drop of a dime. Well, no, they got a young quarterback. So.
And no one's going to Al Davis not there anymore. You know, God rest his soul. But there's only one person that was probably dumb smart enough to make that kind of stupid move, and it would have been him. Nobody's that reckless anymore. You ever seen that kind of reckless behavior in a while? As far as quarterbacks getting big money, everybody's repping the league. Not Carson Palmer signed for $50 million in 3 years. I mean, it would have been a 6-year, he would have been another $100 million quarterback if it was a long-term deal. So everybody who's a quarterback is just lining up and putting the condom on and giving it to your local team and your local fans.
So let me ask you this. What does it say about the overall problem in the Mac, the bigger picture of the NFL? If every quarterback is a $100 million quarterback, what does it say about the NFL?
I don't know if you got me on that one. It says that, I had no idea. And it looks like that's what GMs are doing. They have no idea. Everyone is on this trend of overpaying. Because, let's be honest, there's only four quarterbacks that deserve $100 million so far. The next one I think probably was coming up is probably Andrew Luck to me.
And I fought for him and Cam. And I said I was one for one. I was one for two on that. I think Andrew Luck, it's hard not to get him $100 million when you're seeing Andy Dalton getting $100 million. It's impossible, actually.
It's hard not to get him $100 million because he's producing it.
Exactly.
As far as Cam is concerned, Cam has the same problem in Carolina that we have in Atlanta. His GM is sinking his team. They got rid of his whole wide receiver core.
Well, it's a new GM, so it's not this GM's fault. The past GM were giving out. I think they gave out contracts to damn near everybody on defense and to both of those running backs. So now it's just time to pay the piper. So they had to, oh shit, who can we get rid of? You know what I'm saying? Kyle was reading an article about them probably a month ago, and they were actually praising the new GM for, you know, he had to make some hard decisions with Steve Smith and some of the other people, but he had to do that with the long-term health of the team.
And that's the problem.
In mind. So I think that the problem is Carolina's management, but I think it was the previous tenure. So
It was. That's what I'm talking about. That idiot that signed D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart to those big contracts, and then brought in Tolbert and paid him big money. I mean, it was a freaking idiot. Yeah. So that, which is the problem that we have when we did the Thomas Dimitroff report card. You getting rid of talent and then bringing in, you know, garbage men, essentially.
But the difference between Carolina and the Falcons is Carolina is actually drafting well, right?
Yeah, because that's what's saving them this far. And, of course, that's what's really sinking us as Falcon fans. But back to your point about the quarterbacks and what GMs are doing, I think it's a gross mismanagement of funds. And I think it's going to come back and bite everybody in the ass. And whoever does it the right way is going to profit off of it. Another case in point. You see the turmoil Seattle's going through, and everyone is starting to be a little, you know, disruptive, and it's not as much cohesion. And now next year you're going to have to pay Russell Wilson, who's going to get $100 million. So you can't just sink your team with one play. That's what everybody's doing. Because you know who's next on that $100 million block, don't you? Wide receivers. So if you got a big-time wide receiver, and they usually go hand-in-hand because a big-time wide receiver usually have a big-time kind of quarterback.
I completely disagree with the wide receivers. And me and you talk offline about this all the time. One of my biggest examples is Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson will probably go down to the second greatest receiver in history. And he probably won't go to the playoffs nothing but three times in his career.
Let me tell you, you're exactly right on what you're saying, but that's the NFL. That's the perception. I don't believe what everyone's saying now about you got to have a great quarterback. Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson showed you, no, you don't. You need good defense and a running game and some lines, and a quarterback to manage the game. You can have a decent quarterback and win if your team is decent, if your team is good.
And so I think that you hit the point indirectly that I'm going to make. I think that what's going to happen as a league as a whole, they're going to be more Russell Wilson-type quarterbacks winning Super Bowls, meaning more younger quarterbacks winning Super Bowls who have more pieces around them. So it may not be a rookie or first or second year, but it's going to be quarterbacks in their rookie deal winning more Super Bowls than players than the advanced players. Or you may get a matchup of advanced player versus advanced player. And it's going to be the same four people, right? It's going to be as long as Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, those four are going to always have a say in it. But outside of those four, it's going to be somebody on a rookie deal.
Brady and Rodgers don't. Now, Peyton Manning does and Tom Brady because they're in a shitty conference. That's why they do. The NFC is total garbage. So that's why they have a say. Because no one else is stepping up. You got the Titans. You got, finally, Miami's making some noise. But you got the Raiders. You got just a whole bunch of dumpster fires in the NFC. Now, different with the NFC is Eli creep through. You'll see San Francisco making some noise here. You'll see the Panthers made some noise last year. You'll see but some teams.
Let's stop right there. Because I think that Eli, I think he falls into an unusual category. I think he has, I think he has Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees-ish moments, but he doesn't keep it with him and Flacco, and they don't keep it with consistency. I think that those are those two guys, Knox. But I think that when they do have consistency, their team around them is good enough that they can do that. I think that those two are the two enigmas. But I think that just year in and year out, if we took like a six-year average, I think it's going to be one of those four and somebody on the rookie deal. Moving forward, I think it's going to be the Andrew Lux, you know what I'm saying, and you know whoever and how long ever Brady Breeze lasts, and a couple more. And then I think that that's going to be the overall makeup in the NFL. I think it's going to be cyclic or it's going to be in cycles. I just think that the cycle of the madness and stuff is going down, is ending. And I think the new cycle is going to begin where you get those guys who are kind of in between on rookie deals, but later on in rookie deals with better teams around them making more noise. So that's just what I think.
Totally agree, because the reason why I agree is because of how they're handcuffing themselves to these quarterbacks. So you're going to have to get somebody who's on a rookie deal making, you know, $5 million a year instead of someone who's making $25 million a year. Because if he's making $5 million a year, you can build a team around him. Whereas with the other one, you cannot. And that's just the bottom line. And then go back to what I was saying earlier. Just look at what's going on. You're right. Wide receivers are not. Quarterbacks, to me, are not people. You got to have a quarterback to win. No, you do not. You have to have a good team to win. I think that's what's getting lost. One player, one position does not win the game.
I disagree. I think that...
What quarterback has won the game by himself?
I think Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning is the only... I say those four. With those four, they're so superior at that position that they can get you to the big dance. They can get you in the conversation. Outside of those four, maybe look, but everybody else, no. I think it's those four, maybe five.
Which one is wanted by themselves? Because without the line and without the receiver, who is he throwing to?
I think Tom Brady has had average talent and good pieces at certain places. And I think you can do that. I think you can do that with those four. I think you can put average talent around them, above average at certain places. And they can take you, at least keep you in the conversation at the end of the year.
I don't believe. I believe you have to have. There's only one quarterback who I've seen do that, and that was Tom Brady. But he still had defense. He still had a line.
I mean, he had Bill Belichick. So I think we're going to disagree on this point, and I want to move off of this. But I do think that, like I said, I just feel like I said, like those four maybe look, and then after that, the answer is no.
Here's the blueprint to winning. Give me a stout defense, good line, and a good running game, and we'll win every time. And Seattle just showed you.
But that was the only, in the past 15 years, you're going to say three teams that fell into that category.
In the past 15 years, you can only say one team that didn't have a top 10 defense won a Super Bowl.
It's more than one. We'll have to look that up. I'm sure it's more than one.
All right, well, that's another podcast. Come on.
Yeah.
Because we got college coming up, and we got the picks of kids. We got a meaty selection today. We got to get it going.
Yeah, so we gave the you suck, and Lord knows that lasted too long. Let's go to the Lewinsky Award.
Well, I'll let you go first, Digital Darren.
I want to give some Lewinsky to Michael Vick. I think that he's been much maligned a lot by us on this show. I think he's kind of the butt of some jokes. I just think that he came in with the cum and the poise a veteran should have. And I think that he played good. Like, I really think he played a good control game. And I think it would leave, if you were a Jets fan, wondering, what if? So I would give my Lewinsky to Michael Vick. I thought he played a good game. Now, how long can he keep doing that? Lord, only God only knows. But I got to give him props for last week.
Like that. I got if you don't mind, Mr. Digital Darren, I'd like to be a little greedy. I got about three of them.
Go ahead.
I got the Dolphins and Lions because they played a hell of a game. And quiet as kept, the Lions are looking pretty good this season. And they've done it hurt. And that's what a lot of teams haven't done. I also have the...
Can we stay on the Lions for just a quick point?
Come on.
The Lions are following your model, but it's kind of they flip. So they spent all their draft on defense, right, for the most part. All their recent draft, and they've paid their offensive players.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. You have to hit on the draft, and you got to pay some people. I'm not saying you can't pay anybody, but you have to pay some people. And I think that Matthew Stafford.
And this is how it gets to our point. They have three anchor contracts, and they're going to have to let one of them go. Because Matthew Stafford is a $100 million quarterback. Kevin Johnson is a $120-some million receiver. And now you have, they're trying to get Ndamukong Suh to take a pay cut, and he won't. He's a $20 million D tackle. And it's just not working. That GM is going to have a puzzle. He's trying to fit a square peg into a circle hole to get that to work. So they're going to have to do something this year. Because they're going to have to blow that team up. But it's like you said, you have to draft well, and it's just the day and age with this salary cap. You cannot miss on your draft, because if you miss on your draft, you cannot pay these high-priced free agents. You just can't do it.
And I think that what happens is, and it goes back to the original question, what happens to the league? I think you get away from having – I think the league has less dynasties. I think after the four retire or get to the point where they're not effective, I think you have less teams that are competitive year in and year out. You may have 2-year stretches instead of 5 or 6-year stretches. You may get teams that are competitive for 2 years. Then the big money comes up for somebody. Then they have to make quick changes. It becomes more like the NBA. I think that that's what's going to happen to the NFL. Contractualized, unless they change, it's going to be more like the NBA. You get these three teams. Huh?
You're exactly right. And I also think that goes quality of the game to a degree. Because these teams are not going to be as great as those teams are. They're not going to be able to be built as good. They're not going to have the longevity and the cohesiveness. I mean, these teams are being constructed to be blown up in 3 or 4 years. That's how these teams are made. Mm-hmm. So, but my last one goes to, getting back on point here. My last one goes to, your guy, Mike Vick. We all both Vick fans and we all love him. And I think he did a great job. He looked like he had a glimpse of the old Mike Vick, so I'm happy for him.
That's well said. Let's go and get to the picks and kicks. We were trying to hold out and get Lynn himself to cross over a little bit and do some picks and kicks. But let's go and start with the NFL picks and kicks.
I'm ready.
Thursday night game is Buffalo at Miami. The line is Miami by 6.
I think this is going to be a great game. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to take the Dolphins off. I'm going to take Miami. I'm going to take them by 3, though. It's a division game. And Buffalo is playing very well, especially since they sat down at our porch, Mike. So I think that'll be good.
I agree. I think this is going to be a very competitive game. I think Kyle Lorton has been playing MVP. He's been playing most improved, excuse me. But I think he definitely could be the most improved player.
Okay.
I am going to flip and take Buffalo, though.
Oh. Why?
I think Kyle Orton and Sammy Watkins are going to be good. I think you get a classic stinker from Ryan Tannehill when you shouldn't get a stinker from Ryan Tannehill. I think that's the problem with the Dolphins. When they get to the hill, they get close, the shit just falls apart. Buffalo's never been close, so you can't say nothing about them. But I just think the Dolphins, they don't know how to handle success right now.
Now, let me take another page. Every opportunity I get to take a shot at old Thomas Dimitroff, I do. What about how your boy Greg Grimes been playing? Have you been seeing this? He's been playing like a pro bowler. Have you been watching it?
He was a pro bowler with the Falcons, so.
And you let him go. So what about that? And we're sitting here struggling for names on defense and for playmakers, and you let one of them go. But that's neither him nor them. So you're not betting with the line because you're picking Buffalo?
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that line. I don't see how – in Buffalo, I can see how the line is that high and the game isn't in Buffalo. One with the city, both teams have a shot. Miami's been good, but it's not like you could just go put your house on them. So I wouldn't see them covering. I see Buffalo with the upset. Or with the win, I ain't even gonna say upset. And covering the line.
Okay.
First Sunday game is the Falcons at the Panthers.
I want the Panthers to win. I'll tell you why.
The line is Carolina by 1.5.
I doubt they even lose. Carolina look like trash. Cam is still hurt. If you watch that game Monday, Cam does not look confident at all. He's hurt. That line is crap. He's getting beat to death. He getting beat like he brought a bad report card home. But I'll tell you this. I believe the Falcons win, but I don't want them to. I want them to lose out. I don't want to see more than 4-12 from the Falcons.
I completely agree with everything you said. I think the Falcons win. I think that what's going to really hurt is that, again, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division and backdoor their way into the playoffs. And that's what's really going to get you sick and everybody around us sick.
I hope not. Because the division looks so weak. Someone saying 7-9, it almost looks like 6-10 to win this division. Division
looks trash. It's still more games against each other, right? But we could throw Tampa Bay out right now, right? Carolina, like you said, they're looking worse every time they suit up.
I mean, by the week, they're getting worse, isn't it? They're getting worse about a week.
New Orleans, they hit or miss, right? So maybe that's the best thing is that they're hit or miss. They looking like 8-8, 7-9. You know what I'm saying? It's like their defense is killing them, and their offense hasn't been what their offense has normally been. And it just lead the Falcons. And I think that the Falcons... And I take away the homerism. Don't think the Falcons are good, but I just think that they'll win these type of games. They'll win the division type of games. I got them winning. I got the Falcons winning. All that to say that.
They winning, but I really want them to lose. They winning, though.
The next 1 o'clock game is Minnesota and Chicago. Let's keep it quick because we spent too much time talking about Jay Cutler and the Bears.
How do you even pick this game?
That's a damn good question. I'm going to go with the line of Chicago by 3.5. I don't see how Chicago gets 3 over a field goal on anybody.
I'm going with Chicago and I'll take the 3. I'm not taking 3.5.
I'll
go with the 3.
The only reason you could even go with Chicago is because Minnesota has a rookie quarterback, right?
And they're at home, so I'm just banking on that. But I think, I'm just going with it before I change my
mind. Yeah. I'm going to go with them, too, because they can't be as bad as they played. Cutler has to have a bounce-back game. If he loses this game, you got to bench him, right? Even if it's just to show him, hey, we will bench you, right?
No. You can't. You can't bench him at all.
Just like having a junkie for a child. You want to give up on him, but if your child, you know if you give up on him, Lord knows what happened, right?
Stealing everything out your house since he was goddamn 12 years old. And you still bail him out of jail and put your house up. And that's exactly what's going on. You can't bench him. You can't do nothing with him. You got to just ride with
him. Just hope he don't kill nobody, huh?
Chicago fan, close your eyes. You're going to get raped in this alley. Just hold on.
All right. The next 1 o'clock game is Houston at Cleveland.
I'm taking Cleveland.
I think the line is Cleveland by 3.5. I'm going to take the home team, too. Houston just starting Ryan Mallett. Actually, that's a line I would bet. Houston starring Ryan Mallett. Cleveland has been frisky at home, to say the least. So,
yeah.
Their division is actually good, and they're starting to come up with some quality wins. So, I'm going to take Cleveland.
Exactly. These ain't your uncle's Cleveland Browns. These cats making some noise. So, hopefully they keep it going so I can sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Next 1 o'clock game is Seattle at Kansas City. The line is Kansas City by 1.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the line. There's so much turmoil going on in Seattle. You don't know what they're coming with. They don't play as good away from home as they do at home to begin with. And Kansas City can give anybody a little trouble. So I'm taking Kansas City.
At home, Kansas City is a hell of a fighter. I don't think nobody in NFC West besides Arizona is legitimately good. So I'm going to say... I'm rocking with Kansas City. I think Seattle's overrated, and they're just getting the benefit of being the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, there's something going on there, though. And of course, they got rid of Golden Tate. Marshawn Lynch is grinding a little bit. It's a lot going on with Seattle that's leading to their demise.
Yeah. The next 1 o'clock game is Cincinnati at New Orleans. The line is New Orleans by 7.5.
Come on with it. I'm going New Orleans, and I'm going with the 7. Fuck AJ Green.
I got the Saints winning. I think you said fuck the wrong person. You need to be saying fuck Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton looking like pure red hot trash, ain't it?
And that's what I think everybody in Cincinnati is saying. Fuck Andy Dalton. And again, it go back to he should not have $100 million attached anywhere near his name, right?
They're giving it away. It's a sweepstake for quarterbacks. They are the 10th caller that you get $100 million. That's how they giving away contracts. Yeah, you know Andy Dalton is? Andy Dalton is fooling around with a girl, and she want to fuck, and you want to fuck, and right before you start, she comes on a period. That's what Andy Dalton is.
Hey, I'm sure he got Cincinnati friends seeing red, too. So
you know they are.
Next game is Tampa Bay or Washington. The line is Washington by 7.
Yeah, Washington by 8. Yep. Tampa Bay look like the worst team in football.
Well, you got the Raiders. I don't see how. Let me flip in and say this. I don't see how the hell Washington beats anybody by 7. Home or away. I got Washington winning, but they damn sure don't cover the line.
Isn't that bar RG3 playing?
Yeah, that's even more reason why I don't see them covering the line. Tampa Bay defense is frisky. Tampa Bay defense is frisky. They can't do shit with the ball, but their defense is frisky.
They can't even decide on what garbage quarterback to start. And I was telling someone else this. I think it's a real injustice for Josh McCown to be in the league and Vincent Young ain't. That's some bullcrap.
I think that that just shows that, hey, we're black guys who like to see other black guys succeed. I don't think Josh McNown, I think the reason Josh McNown is in the league because Lovey Norm. There's nowhere in the hell Josh McNown should be playing right now. If Mike Glennon is healthy, he's playing. You're either bottoming out for a number one pick, which either one of these quarterbacks would do for you. And you see what the young guy got. Like, why would you not see what he has? Like, what is playing Luke McNown really giving you? You're not going to win. He's old as shit, so what does it really give you? Like, you guys were saying Lovey would get fired. If you're going to fire him, you fire him for that reason. You fire him for mismanagement, not for losing.
That's what I was about to say. You know what it gives you? Fire. It gives you that termination. It gives you that last few millions to go ahead and get on somebody's network and do some analysts. Because that's what he's going.
All right. The next 1 o'clock game of the Broncos at the Rams.
Ooh, that's quiet as
cup.
That's really gonna be a good game.
Line is Denver by 12.
Nah, I don't think it's gonna be by 12. I'm taking Denver, but I'm not. Even though Peyton gets back in the turf, in the dome, I'm taking Peyton, but I'm not taking him by 12. The Rams are gonna give him a fight.
There is no quiet as kept in this. The Broncos are gonna beat them by 2 touchdowns easy. This is a fucking blowout of all this blowouts.
I just want to make a little wager with y'all now.
Let's talk online. Let's let the listeners hear what we bet about this time.
You want to listen? Let me tell you something. Even though they got that piece of shit, Austin Davis, he still makes good plays. That defense is on point. Peyton Manning is not going to score, beat them by no 2 touchdowns. No, I don't see it.
So what would you want to bet? Do you just want to bet if they cover or not? That's it?
No, give me that 2 touchdowns.
Okay, they went. You can't go with Denver by 11. That's 2 touchdowns.
Nah, give me the 14.
11 is 2 touchdowns.
You said a blowout, right? Now, blowout is 21. I'm giving you 14 because I know you.
All right, let's bet 14. The Broncos going to win by 14.
Okay, they win by 14. That Indian cuisine. We'll go down.
All right. If they lose, where you want to go?
I'm on a 90-day challenge, so I eat healthy.
So if they lose, we'll go somewhere you want to go. We'll go to Houston's and get the veggie plate at Houston's.
Nah, first off, we're gonna go any kind of steak place. You know, I gotta have me a come on now. That'd be a relapse for me. Let's just be honest. I was down there to the Snake Charmers and get us a meal, and the loser pays.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's get it. What's the next game?
The next game is the 49ers at the Giants.
The boo-boo. The who's who? Used to be, what's amazing is this was a game that was a championship game a couple of years ago. And now look at where both of these teams are. I'm going to take the 49ers.
I'm going to take the Giants. I don't think the 49ers are that good. I was telling Mr. MOB that last week. I don't think the Giants are that good. But home and too much. I just don't think the San Francisco's that good. Simple as that.
And you know they lost Patrick Peterson. Patrick Willis, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But they did get Alden Smith, that fool. So, I think they can make some noise. I'm going with the Niners. Now we're going into the 4 o'clock hour. Who we got? Who's the first one?
The Raiders versus the Chargers. How'd you know this?
What do you mean? I'm looking at the schedule.
Oh, okay. The Raiders versus the Chargers.
The Chargers. No, I'm Professor X. I can read minds. Motherfucker. The Chargers. Get my boy Phillip Rivers. Get back on track.
The line is 10.5.
Oh, 10.5. That's a lot. Shit, yeah. Yeah, give me them.
All right, the next game is Philadelphia at the Packers. Wait, I got San Diego going. I got San Diego winning, too. I didn't know I had to see it.
Okay.
The next game is the Packers at the Eagles.
Give me the Packers. Mark Sanchez is going to start back looking like Mark Sanchez.
I agree with you. Green Bay, the line is Green Bay about 7.5. In that weather, Mark Sanchez being who we all know Mark Sanchez is, give me the Packers.
Even though he was going to be, that was my guy who I was going to give the Lewinsky to.
Why didn't you give it to him?
I forgot about him. We was moving on, but he had a hell of a game Monday night. But moving right along, who's the next one? The Lions and the Cardinals?
Yep.
That's going to be a good one there.
No, it's not.
I'm going with the Cardinals.
Without Carson Palmer, I'm going with the Lions.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. Yeah, give me the Lions. Scratch that, give me the Lions.
Spade stick, my man. You got Arizona.
Nah, Spades don't stick. This was a club. Yeah, I forgot all about that. And I just said it. Yeah, give me Detroit.
Alright. The next 8:30 game is the Patriots at the Colts.
I'm taking the Colts.
This is one of those show me something games. If the Colts are serious, they win this game. If they lose, I can't take them serious.
I agree.
I had the Patriots winning.
In digital dad reform, okay. And who you got for this Monday night tanker here? How did the Titans get on Monday night football? I don't know who was in charge of that. Who said, let's get this
Pittsburgh. Don't they flex the other games, though? Like, you know, Monday night gets the scrap of all the flex games.
Boy, that is some real trash. Who in the world? Man, come on, Jack. I can't wait to hear what John Gruden is going to say about this game, who he's going to suck off, and say how good this player is from the Titans.
The line is Pittsburgh by 6.5.
Come on with it. I want them in the line.
Pittsburgh wins, they cover. But it is a real sucky game. Like, you would think they would put the sucky games at 1 o'clock, right? And make sure that the last three, They should make sure that the 8:30 game, if you all have a sucky game, let me say this. The sucky game should be at 4:25 or 1 o'clock. It should either be at 1 o'clock because there's so many games at 1 o'clock. You could just say, fuck this game, right? Unless you like either one of the teams. It should be at the 4:25 because you already seen the 1 o'clock game. So you might be like, I can do something else. I can go play with the kids or talk to the wife for an hour or two. It should not.
You know one thing I like? I like how you put it like football first and I don't feel like doing that. Hey, honey, how you doing today?
Exactly.
After football. But the second thing I want to say is this game should be scheduled where you can flip to another game just in case this gets out of hand or viewers go down. Then you can just flip to a more exciting game.
Oh, this is a red box game, right? So, a bar game. So, a bar got 20 TVs. This one may get a corner of one TV. At the bar, right? You know what I'm saying? So, you got to be on because Steelers are a known team. But, you know, it definitely shouldn't be a game that America... It's like America's trying to... It's like trying to make your child drink castor oil. Why force feed us something we don't want or don't need?
Indeed.
All right, that covered the game. I was hoping Lynn himself would join us, but he hasn't. So, if we do a college football picks and kicks, I'll let you know and I'll get you back in because... We really got some interesting stuff to talk about in college that you really want to get to.
I want to get in on that.
This has been DigitalDarren.com. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.